Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Welcome in, Jason and John, Friday, September 19th edition of the show. About 24 hours out from the biggest game in the history of Memphis football. Not just this season, not just the decade, but the entire history of the program. Unranked Arkansas comes in to Memphis, Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, and Memphis will try to do the unthinkable, which is beat an unranked SEC team. That's 2-1. I do think it has pretty, sizable implications for Ryan Silverfield. I joke about the meaning of the game. I think we've all kind of recognized at this point that it really is way more about what Memphis does against South Florida and Tulane than it is what they do tomorrow against Arkansas. But I do think there's something that Ryan Silverfield can accomplish if he wins this game, and we'll touch on that here in just a little bit. Anthony Sain is going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to him about this game, the weekend, and more. Maybe a little Angel Reese shoe drop. She was excited about that. I saw the spot there. She's on the hate train, Brad. She says she's on the hate train. She's not listening to anybody, but she's on the hate train.
Well, I mean, the good news for her is her shoe, and I mean, you pointed this out to me. You educated me yesterday, John, as you always do. And hope you're having a great Friday, by the way. She sold out. She sold out of the series.
3 minutes. Yeah. 3 minutes. The hate train. It's just a warm up, man.
The hate train. What's up with the hate train?
That's the ad, I guess. She's like in front of a subway and she's getting on it and she says, "I'm getting on the hate train."
Okay.
So,
well, good for her.
I think it's just more of an ode to the fact that, a lot of people do chirp her on the internet, right? And so, the people are reading newspapers that say overrated, things like that. So, it's all a part of marketing. So we'll talk to Anthony Sain about that at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Parthi Padgai will join us. We will talk to him about Memphis basketball and the latest there. So that is what's coming up on the show today. But, yes, we are, in fact, 24 hours out of Memphis, Arkansas. I get the sense that I'm on an island here, that I'm not as excited as others about this game, and that's fine. I mean, I usually am on an island when it comes to this. Like, I think you're excited. I think there's a real buzz, and you should be excited. It's not a bad thing to be excited. It's a great thing to be excited. But it's just like my attention and my energy is really invested elsewhere with this program, right? Which is they've beaten Power 5 teams 5 times in a row, right? Like they've done that here in Memphis. So winning tomorrow would not be surprising in the slightest. But the goal is still the same, right? The goal is still the same, and that is to do something that Ryan Silverfield has never done, which is make an American Conference championship game. And winning tomorrow, this is just the facts of it, winning tomorrow does not necessarily get you any closer to that goal. I think that's what people have a hard time understanding. You can win tomorrow and not make the American Conference championship game.
Right.
And so then what? Then what? It means nothing. It's stupid. It's irrelevant. It's one win in a season where you didn't accomplish what you really needed to accomplish.
Yeah.
And it works to the inverse. I don't want to just speak to the negative. If you lose tomorrow, which you're supposed to do, mm-hmm. it doesn't preclude you in any way from making the American Conference Championship game. It's like, you know, you almost have to look at it like Memphis basketball is a non-conference schedule. Mm-hmm. You need to win some games, but you need to win your league.
Yeah.
You know, you need to win your league because you know, it's so bad and it's a little different for football because the league is better, so it's going to be harder to do. But you know, it one loss is not going to wreck you in any way, shape, or form. It's not even going to change, you know, your goals. So I think it's just a good time. You know, if the University of Memphis can win tomorrow, I don't think it means anything for the season. If they lose tomorrow, I don't think it means anything for the season. However, I think for Ryan Silverfield, there is quite a bit at stake. That is what I think is what I truly think is at stake tomorrow is can Ryan Silverfield fix the excitement problem at Memphis? And let's just call it what it is. It's a product that people are more or less, fair or not, bored with. I mean, it when you think Memphis football, yeah. do you get juiced?
No,
you don't.
No.
Right? I mean, you don't. I mean, no. It's a good program.
And not in terms of style of play, to your point. No, never. And I never have since Ryan took over.
And I don't even necessarily mean style of play, but I just mean generally, right? When you think about Memphis football, you don't – do you get like, oh, man, I can't wait to go down to Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. Like, you don't.
No.
You don't. And I think that's a problem. That's a problem. Now, Memphis basketball has that same problem. We're not talking about Memphis basketball today. Right. We're talking about Memphis football. And I think we could sort of chalk it up to a lot of different things, but one thing I would probably chalk it up to specifically is the opinion at large about the coach.
Yes.
Now I do recognize that there is a big divide between the online world and the real world, but I think for the most part people would say that they are and have been underwhelmed by his tenure, as opposed to Mike Norvell's, as opposed to Justin Fuentes. I think they would probably tell you that Ryan Silverfield inherited a program that was at a certain level. He promised to keep it at that level. He has not done that, right?
Right.
And so I think just over the years, and attendance would bear this out, over the years, you know, you lose people. They've lost people as a result of underachieving. And again, I know the last 2 years are the last 2 years, but we can't just gloss over the fact that they finished below 500 in the American 2 years as well. I mean, we sort of pick the points of the argument that we want to make, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's an entire picture, and it has gotten better the last 2 years, but the 2 years before that, it was not good. Right. So here we are. So I think what Ryan Silverfield can really, really accomplish tomorrow is I think if he beats Arkansas and Memphis wins this game, I do believe that he can start to turn that around. I think he can turn around the excitement issue. I mean, I don't think this is necessarily like a I don't think we are splitting atoms here. I don't think anybody's ever going to look back at this segment and say, "My God, he did it. He figured it out." But I do think that is sort of what's on the line, because again, I'm really not going to be critical of Memphis if they lose this game tomorrow. I know people are not going to like to hear that. But I'm just not. I think it's totally. If they win, we'll celebrate. It'll be great. If they lose, I'm on to the next week, man. I mean, I just am with Memphis. They're not supposed to win this game. They're seven and a half point underdogs. Jeff faded them. Jeffrey faded them in Jeff's bets. He faded the Tigers. The guy has won 10 units this year in college football, Brad, and he said he wants to win 11. On the Arkansas Razorbacks, -7. So it's over.
Mm.
It's over. Jeffrey has put the bet in.
Wow.
And he has faded the Memphis Tigers. So why even show up tomorrow?
Yeah, and I was surprised to hear this game is not sold out, to your point about Ryan and his popularity. And I think that is a byproduct, because I assumed,
right,
knowing the opponent, knowing the reduced attendance factor out of the gate, because you
for
only
sure
have, what,
30,000.
Yeah. I was shocked. I'm like, I think that is to your point. Like, that is exactly, I mean, that confirms what you're telling me.
Well, I mean, yes, it's Friday.
Because right? I assume too much.
They're going to sell it out.
No, but what I was saying is,
like, this
I thought it'd
done
be hard for me to get a ticket. I really did.
And
I can get a ticket.
Right.
If I want a ticket, you can get a ticket.
You can definitely get a ticket.
Yeah. And that's, I think, explains your point. You know, like, this is not an overwhelming slam dunk. That you're going to get 30,000. I mean, they're going to get 30,000. But you know what I'm saying? Like a few years ago, in 21, the Mississippi State game, you go 55,000 firm, you know, or whatever.
Is that what was out there?
I don't really remember. Maybe not. But I mean, they won that game, and then after they won that game, you know, they didn't win their conference. So it's everything you're saying is valid. I think.
Yeah. So it was September 18th, 2021. That right. We might have still had COVID restrictions. I don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, you got that going on, but it felt like, you know, the vibes were, you know, still new and fresh. It was a little fresher, I guess.
They 100% were.
Yeah.
Like, all you had was that one COVID year.
Right.
Right. And it was actually pretty good. I think I don't remember exactly what they finished in 2020 with. I want to say it was Brady White.
But
I think they were like 8-3 maybe.
Yeah.
So it was a pretty good year.
Mm-hmm.
And so then 2021 rolls around, and then that's when it kind of felt like Memphis football was at like a fever pitch under Silverfield.
Right.
When they beat Mississippi State.
I think that's fair. Right? Yeah. That was the apex in a way.
Because like you said, the sample size was still pretty small.
Yeah.
And you know, at that time, I think Memphis might have moved to, you know, 2-0 or 3-0 or something along those lines, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, what were they at that time? They were 3-0.
Yeah, I mean, it was hot.
So you're talking about, you know, the guy had started his career 11-3.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what happens the rest of the way? You know, Memphis loses that game to UTSA. They lose to Temple. They lose to Tulsa. They lose to UCF. They lose to East Carolina. And you end up, you know, scratching and clawing your way to 6-6, and you know, you don't get to play that bowl game. So sentiment has just soured, right? Like that, like it just is the reality. And no, you're not going to get it back just by winning double digit games and not making a conference championship game. You know, that's just not like people. You're not going to fool people. I mean, you're just not. And this is an interesting, like, I fully admit this is a very, like, people, when they tune into the station today, they want to hear a pep rally, right? They want to hear, but that ain't me.
Right.
I'm going to keep it a buck.
No, keep it a buck.
And that's what we're going to do on this show.
I think that's fair. But yeah. I think Jason was there with you already.
Oh, yeah. No. If Jason were here, it would be the same.
It wouldn't be. Yes. No, there would be no counter to this, folks.
No. And, yeah. And I don't think there really is one.
No.
I mean, because it's like women lie, men lie, numbers don't lie.
Right. And ball don't lie. Right?
And so, you know, I think it's reduced capacity, and you're taking until, like, this sounds like a criticism, and it's really not.
Right.
It's not really a criticism. It's more so like this is where it is.
Yep.
This is a stock report. This is where it is, and this is what actually matters tomorrow, right? What actually matters tomorrow is if Memphis beats Arkansas, I think Ryan Silverfield can get the fans back.
Yeah.
Because it's to me, it's at least a very big step towards doing that.
Yeah.
If he doesn't win, then I think you're just going to be stuck where you're at. Like, you're just going to be in this weird purgatory where it's like half the fan base just supports because it's Memphis football. And then half the fan base is like wondering if he's the right guy for the job.
So here's where I land on it. And I'm not going to counter your point because I agree with everything you just said. I do think Memphis will win tomorrow. I picked them to win. And here's my philosophy on this. I think they're good enough to win the conference. And I think in order to win the conference this year, you have to be good enough to beat a bad Arkansas team this year.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I mean, I think it will be a good bar, right?
That's your bar. In other words, I think South Florida would beat Arkansas vis-a-vis I think Memphis will beat Arkansas.
Now, the transitive property doesn't always work, but I do think it will be. Look, I mean, the first three games were jokes.
Totally jokes.
I mean, like,
and I don't think they used everything in their bag either, by the way.
Well, let's hope not.
I'm hoping not.
Yeah.
That also is in my calculus here.
But I also think, like, I don't think they have like this mystery playbook that they're gonna pull out of their ass tomorrow. Where I mean, they might have five or six plays. They might,
maybe.
But I think if you're a Memphis fan and you're hoping like there's just some drastically different way,
I am hoping that.
I mean, you should hope that.
Yeah, like for you and for you to win, I'm hoping. I think in order for you to win, your defense really needs to step up here.
Yes,
your defense really is going to have a tough task tomorrow, but I do think their offense can be more explosive even than they have already have been.
Well, let's hope so. It's going to have to be
against
this Arkansas team.
Got a good quarterback.
So I think that is sort of, you know, what's at stake? Everything.
Yeah, and I was wrong about the quarterback, by the way. I think Brendan Lewis is a good player. I didn't expect him to look like he looks right now for them.
Well, he hasn't really had to do anything yet.
No, this is the opponent.
I don't think you need to. I don't think the apology tour needs to kick off yet.
Yeah. I mean, he's played well.
Because, I mean, the reality is if he goes in here against Arkansas and has three picks, which could happen.
That all changes.
Like, he threw a ball against Troy that would have been picked off by 118 defenses in FBS.
Yeah.
Not named Troy. Like, it was just a miracle that and they're the Troy so bad. Yeah. So I'm just saying, like, I'm not, the apology tour may need to happen.
Today but that day.
Beating Chattanooga, Troy, and Georgia State. Nah, bro, it's not time to make that declaration about Brandon Lewis yet. He's been good with what we've seen.
I've been surprised.
You thought he was going to come in here and stink?
I thought
against
he sucked. Like, I said on this radio show that he sucks. Like, I said that, and I.
All right, well, I mean, that was a little strong. Yeah. You can start the apology tour for suck.
He may not suck.
But I guess the question is, how good is he?
Yeah.
You know, but no, I don't think he sucks. But yeah, look, what's at stake? I think the first step in getting fans back on board at large. Now, you could also lose that, right? Like, you could win tomorrow and lose a stupid game, and then it's back to where we were. But
yeah,
I do. I think that this is a fan base that is very tepid about Ryan Silverfield, that is not all that excited at this point. And maybe people are going to tell me I'm wrong. Maybe people are going to tweet me and tell me I'm wrong. But I just feel like, you know, based on the fact that this thing wasn't announced as a sellout on Monday, kind of tells you, you know.
I think that's the bar.
Because we can't blame downtown.
Right.
Can we?
No.
Because the Simmons Bank's not downtown.
No.
It's in Midtown, basically.
Orange Mound.
Orange Mound.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's. So, I don't know. Mm. Well, can people please send me an updated list of neighborhoods that we can blame for attendance? I would like that. Who are we blaming for Mike Rowe's attendance?
I think Mike Rowe's going to be well attended.
Okay, that's going to be okay. No excuses.
Generally, every time I've been to Mike Rowe's, it's banging.
All right, no excuses there. But I don't think in terms of the team and the season, there's I hate, you know, using cliches because I've said it, like, I feel like a million times this week. Free swing, but it is a free swing. It doesn't matter. It's like take your shot. And if you lose, you lose. It's fine. Like, you still get a chance to beat South Florida in Memphis. You still get a chance to beat Tulane here in Memphis. And you're still going to be, if you win those games, in pole position to represent the Group of Six in the college football playoff. And, like, what you did against Arkansas is really not even going to matter. Like, they're not going to take that into account. It's not like it's going to improve your, you know, your ranking, right? Like, it's an unranked Arkansas team. And that's the other part, is, like, if Memphis wins, like, that's why I was pushing back with Bennett yesterday on this Tigers national conversation piece, right? Like, his point is, if Memphis wins, they're going to be a part of the national conversation. No, they're not. No, they're not. Because Arkansas is going to be 2-2. Arkansas is going to be irrelevant. It ain't like this is Notre Dame coming in here, right? And even Notre Dame, but you get what I'm saying. Like, there's certain brands and certain teams where, yes, that would be the case. A ranked Georgia, a ranked Tennessee, you know, an Ole Miss even, I think, who's like a middling, you know, top 25-ish team. I think that would be probably fair. If you win that game, you could be a part of the conference. Bro, if Memphis wins this game, let me tell you what the national conversation is. Fire Sam Pittman. That's the conversation.
And I would add, the other conversation, if I'm being fair, is because the you know, the sub-power teams, they're not that great this year compared to Boise's down. Like, you're probably the clear leader in the clubhouse as the Group of Five.
Yes, but nationally, nobody cares about that.
No, in Memphis, I'm talking.
Oh, yeah, in Memphis.
I mean, I care about it because I'm a UNLV fan. Like, no, you leapfrog a group of teams to put yourself even as the conference champion ahead of people.
No, there's no question about that. I'm just saying, in terms of what there is
the vibes,
to gain nationally.
Yeah, I got you.
This is how it goes for Memphis.
Sure.
When the Group of Five team pulls the upset over the Power Five team, the Group of Five team is not the story.
Right. It's always
what has happened. What has happened to this downtrodden Power Five program?
Right.
Right. Like, how have they fallen so far?
No, Sam needs to win this game. There is no question about that.
So, I mean, again, I go out there and enjoy it. It is overcast outside.
It is. It flipped. It might even look like a rain shower here or there.
That's not great.
No.
That's not great, but maybe it is for Memphis football, because they're a running team.
Yeah,
and Taylen Green is not going to have. It looks like it's going to be fine tomorrow. It's going to be partly cloudy. High of 89.
There we go.
Do I have my meteorology?
I think, like, you've nailed it.
I think I just graduated with a degree in meteorology from Mississippi State.
Let's go.
So go out there, enjoy it, tailgate, live it up. Could be the last time an SEC team plays here. You know, and if they win, let's tear down the goalposts. But if not, you know. It's all good. What is it, Tulsa next week? You got to get ready, man.
October 4th, Tulsa. Yeah, no. You got Florida Atlantic first and then Tulsa.
So you got to lock back in because now you're now you got to go on the road at Florida Atlantic.
What are they doing this year?
So they stink. Yeah. They lost to FIU last weekend.
Mm.
But it's a trap game. It's always a trap game.
And they pounded Tulsa though, but so Tulsa must be dog crap.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I believe they are.
Yikes. So,
anyway, enjoy it. Hopefully Memphis can pull off the win, but if they don't, there's still quite a bit of meaning left in the season. And if they do win, I do think it's a big step for Ryan Silverfield to say, hey, there's reasons to come back to this building. There's reasons to be excited about this program on my watch. I think that's what people want, right? That's what people are looking for because it ain't going to be the style. It ain't going to be the style. And that's fine. Like, I always make this comparison. And again, I think I'm just going to piss off everybody today. I think that's just my goal. I'm just going to piss off every fan base. But the Grit and Grind Grizzlies, right? I hated watching them. It wasn't an enjoyable style to me.
Right.
But what did they do?
They won games. Sure.
They won. There is nothing more fun than winning.
Yes.
There's nothing in the world that's more fun than winning. Period. It don't matter how you do it. You can win 3-0. The Grizzlies would win 67-64, right? I don't care how well you shoot the ball. You could score 146 points in an NBA game, but if you lose, it's not fun. It's only fun if you win. Winning is the most fun thing in the entire world. And you could say there's been more of it under Silverfield in the last 2 years, but it hasn't been high leverage wins. It's been beating the Tulsas and the FAUs of the world, and it's not been the ones that actually matter to achieving the ultimate goal, which is to make the playoff. So you do that tomorrow. If Silverfield can pull it off tomorrow, I think he'll make a big dent in that argument. No question about it. One day closer, one game closer to shutting us the hell up. All right? I mean, that's just the reality. You beat Arkansas, you beat an SEC team, we got to give you your propers, man. It's just the way it goes. We'll keep talking about it today here on the show tomorrow, 11 a.m., Memphis hosting Arkansas. We'll come back. Anthony Sain will join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about this and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 99.5 ESPN. Anthony Sain is Tribal Chief of Grizz Twitter, host of the Anthony Sain Show on Twitter at Sain Asylum. Joins us every Friday, and he joins us now. Big Dog, what's going on, man?
Man, you got it, bro. What's going on with you, man?
Man, I would be remiss if I did not ask you about the late, great Les Smith. Obviously, Jason is out, as a result. And I know Les has been around, man. He's been around. He's done it all. And mm-hmm. so as a Memphian and as somebody that's in this game, what did Les Smith mean to you?
Oh, man, just a tremendous loss, man. I was talking to Jason about his dad coming back a few weeks ago. And then, I see him saying that his dad was in town. He was having surgery. He was being thankful the surgery went well, all those type of things. I went to bed. Didn't have the best feeling at night when I went to bed, though. You know what I mean? Just a strange feeling was on me. And I woke up at about maybe 3-4 o'clock in the morning. I can't remember. I woke up early, like maybe 4 or 5. And I saw the news that Jason was saying that his father passed away, and I immediately texted him, man. I shot him a text, whenever I saw it, I shot him a text. So just an amazing guy, man. Amazing guy, Les Smith was. Two things that I can say that I didn't have as a young man are reasons to say that I didn't have examples of black media members, right? You know what I mean? Like, I can't say that I wasn't exposed to those type of things as a kid. And between Jarvis Greer and Les Smith, Jarvis on the sports side and Les Smith on the news side, I had them, you know what I mean? And I was able to see those examples out in front of me of just two tremendously classy, legendary men. And Les Smith definitely was one of those guys, man. And they say that one of the ways you can determine, a real man or a great man or a great father is the man or the people that they can, produce. And just with Jason being a close friend, mentor, brother of mine, it just speaks to how great of a man Les Smith was, man. Like I said, not only is he an example that I could turn on the television and see, a proud black man on the screen, professional, gentleman, all those type of things. But just to, just to have that example of just a great guy who's been doing what he did for the city for so long, with such a level of excellence, man, and a tough loss. It's a little different because it's, you know, a close friend of mine's dad. So, but just all props and respect to Les Smith, just one of the true legends in Memphis media for sure.
Yeah. Like I haven't, you know, my dad is still here, but you know, that day comes, you know?
Yeah.
And
I lost mine. And that's what added to the sick feeling I had in my stomach was I felt I lost my, dad back in 2015. So, and I'm not going to say those same feelings came on me, but just sympathizing with my brother. It was just tough to see, man, for sure.
Yeah. I think I really haven't talked a lot to Jason. We've kind of been checking in, here and there, but I do hope that, like, you know, to the extent that you can find any peace in it and then make any sense of it, it's like, I hope that he can, knowing that, dude, his dad was so proud of him, bro.
Yeah, like, for sure, man.
Like, I mean, we listened to the interview yesterday. We last time we talked to him, we played it, and it was just like, he was getting emotional thinking, you know, about his son and coming into radio and breaking in and doing something that he had never done. So, I don't know. Like I said, I've never been there. I haven't lost a parent, but I'm hopeful that that's at least one bit of peace you can have. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what it's all about, man. Like, I just remember when my mom passed away, and, you know, my mom passed away in 2008, dad in 2015. I just remember the feeling of just wanting to live a life that they're proud of. And it's like with everything that anything I accomplish, any new endeavor, any new accomplishment, any acknowledgement, anything, I always like think, okay, how proud would my parents be of this? You know what I mean? So, and, you know, Jason got to see that a little longer than I did with his dad or whatever, but I definitely know that feeling, man. I know that Les is proud of Jason and the things that he's done, accomplishments, and just, you know, as a pillar of this community as well. So, yeah, man, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to talk about. Like I said, I talked about it on my show a little bit yesterday, but it's definitely, sometimes in life, man, you just kind of, you think the things that are in front of you is just the way that they are, but you don't really understand how big of an impact those things are. Like for a black man in the city to be able to cut on the TV and see Les Smith and to see Jarvis Greer as a little boy up all through my life, like those things meant something, man. Like I didn't grow up as a little kid saying, yeah, I want to be a podcaster. I want to work in sports media, or I don't want to work in a nonprofit world. I didn't grow up in that, man. You know what I mean? Those weren't my dreams at all. But seeing those guys, it obviously did something to me, man. You know what I mean? So, it's major. It's a major loss. And like I said, I hope Jason is fine. I hope he holds up. Glad to see him back soon. He's got other endeavors to work on as well. But it's a major loss, man, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely right. And we'll be here for him. There's no question about it.
Oh yeah,
that.
For sure, man.
Are you falling up into Arkansas, Memphis?
Man, you know the city take care of me, bro. I do it for the city, so you know the city love me, bro. That's what the theme song says.
Unbelievable.
Say. You know what I'm saying?
You're a magnet. You're a magnet for the tickets.
Yeah, they take care of me, man. Shout out to, you know what I'm saying, the good Tiger football fans out there, you know, making sure that me and Gabe got the two tickets and the parking pass. Want to say I'm sitting in section 10-something. You know it's five seats, though, bro. You already know this.
Yeah, for sure.
But the people take care of me, man. You know, I don't know if that's got – you know, something to do with me having a potential, class of 2032, I believe.
Yeah.
Big time recruit. And Gabe saying, I don't know what it is or not. I don't know, y'all had a legal recruiting my son. I don't know if it's that or not, but I do
enjoy
it.
I don't think there's illegal recruiting anymore.
I don't think it is either, man.
I think everything is everything goes.
Yeah, but with that being said, thank y'all for the tickets, man. The people take care of me on these games, man, for sure.
What's the last Memphis football game you went to?
It was one last year.
Okay, you did.
We went a lot last year, bro.
Okay,
we went to a lot of games last year. I can't do Tiger football once it gets like for real cold.
Right,
like, I can't be sitting outside for hours and like cold. Like I just can't do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can do the hot. You know what I mean? But this, I can do the hot. Yeah, but that cold, nah, I can't do it, bro. So we probably got probably somewhere mid season by the time we tap out. Maybe get all the way to the end. Who knows?
I saw you tweet about the ESPN cover when they named the Grizzlies the best organization in sports. Man, wow. You know, that happened. That happened. What was that, like 2013?
Yeah, 2013, yep.
Man. I mean, I'm not saying they're a bad organization, but like it's crazy to think that they were once thought of as number one in the freaking
in all those
landscape.
Sports.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, what was
not
the,
just the NBA?
Do you remember what the criteria was? Like, I don't. It seems kind of crazy. Like, I don't know.
I remember trying to justify it at one time. I remember back then trying to justify it, but now I just assume Robert Pera owns some stock in ESPN. So I don't know. Like,
damn.
I don't know why. I don't know why they were named it. You know what I mean? Looking, not saying I'm, that we're looking, bad.
It was Ultimate Standings. So that's what it was. It was Ultimate. The ESPN had a thing called the Ultimate Standings, and it doesn't say exactly here what the criteria, but they were 1 year, and then they were 2 in 2015. So it's
okay.
So here
about.
We go. Here we go. Got it. Here we go. Title.
All right, come on.
Title track. Ownership. Coaching, players, fan relations, affordability, stadium experience, bang for the buck. That's the criteria.
Oh, okay. I think it's the stuff that weighed them a lot probably was fan experience, bang for the buck.
Yes. Affordability.
Affordability, they probably like in the middle with everything else.
So they were number one in affordability.
Yeah, because there's a lot of organizations. It's a good product, but it's very expensive to go to their games.
Exactly.
You know, back in 2013, our games were cheap as hell. So, yeah, that's probably played a lot into it.
You remember? I don't even remember how much they would have cost. I mean, obviously, you basically just walk in if the affordability is one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. It's not one anymore. We got the jaw tax, no doubt about that. I will say though,
we got the jaw tax.
The stadium experience, I would say, is still very much up there though, right? Like, I don't. Mm-hmm. I haven't been to every professional game, but I every time
in 2013, they still had those block TVs in the hallway, so technology and the speakers were ass. So the technology has changed a lot since 2013.
Yes,
but yeah.
I every time I go to a Grizzly game, I come away thinking like I just always have a good ass time, bro.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's part of the experience that they curate there. For you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
the in game stuff and everything is cool. The Grizzlies is definitely Grizzly game is definitely a fun experience. They've done a lot to. They kind of got away from this for a while, but at one time, every year, pretty much, I try to make a road trip to catch local games in certain areas that are driving distance. Right, I do Atlanta, I do New Orleans, somebody do Chicago, but no matter where you go. When you're in the arena, you feel like you're in that city, whether it's the food, the music is usually a big part of it, the dance, what the people that are, you know, the people who are on the floor, what they're doing, how they're dressing, all those type of things, you feel like you're in that city, right? Memphis didn't feel like that for a while, and I was screaming on the rooftops everywhere I had a microphone about, like, Grizzly games don't feel like Memphis. And they flipped it up after a while, like, it really started feeling maybe a little bit too Memphis. At the Grizzly games, but they've kind of gotten away from it now. But I think that is a big part of it. It still does have that Memphis feel when you go to those games.
I'm reading this article from 2015. In 2015, it was the third cheapest in the NBA, $31.48 on average a ticket.
$38?
$31.48 a ticket.
Oh, wow. In 2015?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
What are they now? Like double
that?
Ain't that. Is it like I don't even know what it costs to get into a Grizzly. I always buy like
yeah,
but it's got to be like 80, right? To get like even
man,
the
somebody and yeah. Then man, like with, you know, with technology, bro, these robot accounts and everything, they're like buying the tickets and reselling them. Like it ought to be something done to fix that, bro. Like you can't expect people to not be able to buy a ticket just at a regular price, bro. Like that's. That not being an option is just absolutely horrible.
Same on the shoe game, bro. Like it's the same problem, but they don't care because they're still being bought.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know, like these corporations don't care because the money is coming in. They don't care where it's coming from.
It should be like, man, I'm not gonna say make it where it's like pay less shoes, where it's like, you know, bargain basement, but pretty much, man, if you want a pair of John Morant shoes, you should be able to get them, man. Like
agreed.
It shouldn't be like. They come out and they're gone in 5 minutes. And like, I should have to like go in and work late to go get the jobs. Or like, it's just crazy, bro. Like, and then you're still taking a chance and not getting them. And like, it's because you're competing against bots. And then the shoes are already out on different websites, resellers before they even hit the stores. Like, man, it just shows you how foul that whole thing is, man. Like, and it seems like Nike and these other companies should do something to Ticketmaster or whoever should do something to make those things where just regular people can go buy stuff, bro. It's crazy.
Absolutely. Another list that the Grizzlies have kind of come back down to earth in is this, the future power rankings. You know, once upon a time, I think they were maybe one there too. And that was much more recent than 2015. Mm-hmm. And now they're 17. Is that right to you? Like, just what's your assessment of the Grizzlies' future? Mm-hmm.
I think it's like based on like the age of your prospects and draft picks and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, just like what you think your franchise, right?
Yeah, I think that's kind of crazy. 17 is like second bottom half of the league. Like that's not true at all. Like you've got two young all-stars that are 26 years old. You've got other young, really good young pieces on that team. You've got I saw something where it had the Grizzlies fifth as far as future draft pick rankings in the NBA. So I don't really know how that. You got a really valuable draft pick that could be happening this summer. So I don't really know how they can gauge that at all. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's players' money draft market management. So they're 16th with players, they're 17th with money, they're 8th with draft, they're 23 with market, and then they're management.
That stuff is so crazy, man, because some people have said that our roster is like top 10 in the league, and this was saying they were 23rd. Is that what this is?
No, that's the market. The roster would be 16th.
That's kind of crazy too.
Yeah, I think there's just, man, uncertainty.
I'm ready for the ball to roll out, man. All these polls and rankings and all that, all of it is just pretty dumb. Like the ball's rolling out pretty soon. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Hey, man. Always appreciate your time.
Yes, sir.
Enjoy the game tomorrow, man. Get a dub, man.
We gotta get it, man. Go Tigers, go. Let's get it.
Hey, thanks, Shane. Appreciate you, bro.
All right, bro.
Yep, he is Anthony Sain. Joins us every single Friday here on the show. I mean, I'm just kind of looking at this list. It was from earlier this week. We talked a little bit about it, but like,
yeah,
Detroit's 18th, and that feels wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I think about Detroit, I think about like, I mean, they pushed the Knicks to the brink in the playoffs last year. Kay Cunningham, Jalen Duren,
Masar
Thompson. That's like an unbelievable young core. That's a great young core. I think I have a bigger problem with them being – they're behind the Grizzlies right now. And maybe they're – I mean, Jalen Duren and Asar Thompson are a little less proven than, you know, Ja and Jaren. But still, I mean, I think they're definitely on the way up. No question about that.
Yeah, from a product perspective, certainly.
I was happy to see that the Grizzlies market wasn't 30th.
Yeah, I mean, and it's nice to be not last. I mean, you're generally battling it out with the smaller markets like a New Orleans, right. And it's all based on, and I think that goes to the point you guys talked about last week about Chicago, because Chicago is always going to have ridiculous value because, in my opinion, mm-hmm. I mean, I went to college up there, there's so much money, it's such a large market, you know, it doesn't matter if the team sucks because they, you know, United Center's awesome, like, I feel like you're just going to get it because you're in Chicago, you know, sort of like New York, you know, New York is not always product based, right? Mm-hmm. You got Spike Lee sitting courtside, and even if they suck, they seem to be in the top five. Los Angeles, same thing. So like for us to be 27th feels like a good thing, right?
23rd, sir.
Even better.
Yeah.
Feels damn good. Like, and the thing with Detroit though, it's, you know, a lot of poverty in Detroit, you know, not a very, you know, upscale market at times.
Yeah. They're right behind Memphis.
Yeah.
They're 25th in the market.
So
take a stab at
market. I don't have it in front of me. So
no, you don't. Take a stab at market number 30. Who is dead last according to ESPN in market? Now this is just, I guess, their opinion, but
can I get a couple of options? Either Sacramento or New Orleans.
Sacramento is not.
Is it New Orleans?
Sacramento is 27, so you're in the ballpark.
I'm in the hemisphere of the back.
New Orleans is 28th. I think it's going to surprise you.
It's not a major market.
It's definitely
is it?
Not a major market. It's
like San Antonio.
It is not San Antonio. Good guess. It is not San Antonio. San Antonio. Let's see where they put our friends. San Antonio, 16th. That's way higher than I would have thought. I'm going to give you one more, and it's not Oklahoma City. I'm going to give you one more.
Denver.
It is not Denver. Denver's a great market. What are you talking about? They have them 18th, which again is lower than I would have thought, but it's actually Minnesota. They have Minnesota as the last market in the NBA.
That is surprising. That is very surprising to me.
I mean, I would love to know how they justify
what's the
that.
Value on that. Yeah, yeah, I imagine. Well, and I will say this.
Because everybody always makes leads me to believe that Memphis is the – every time I hear a podcast, they just trash Memphis. They trash city. Stephen A. on First Take trash – you know, but ESPN doesn't even think Memphis is in the bottom five. I mean, this is what I'm having a hard time reconciling.
Yeah. I always have a great experience when I buy good tickets. I've been spoiled because I think it's working in a sports station. You just expect to always sit in the lower bowl. But I will tell you, like, especially after they do the renovations, the problem is when they built that thing 20 years ago, 25 years ago, we got too many seats upstairs. Mm-hmm. We just do. That's because the new ones, like what they did at Gainbridge in Indy, they yep. took that sucker yep. and they cut it in half, and they basically, they low, you know, everything's lower, basically. Almost yes. three quarters of the arena now in Minneapolis, same thing. Most of it is, that's why that one's surprising, but most of the seats are downstairs.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. No, you're right.
That's why we also need that arena update, because we need to get some of them, take those top boxes out and get those seats lower.
Yes. Yes, agreed. So anyway, it's
I'm stoked about it though. We're 2 weeks out from this, by the way. Like the first preseason games here, the first week of October. Very excited about it.
No, I miss basketball. I do. I love basketball a lot. And when I don't have it, like I was watching, you know, I didn't watch a lot of WNBA last night.
Yeah, you
but
said
I
it was a hell of a game last night.
I saw the ending there with I mean, the Aces almost got put out.
Wow.
They almost lost. They only won by a point. And they had to dodge a late game, you know, a last second miss. So,
yeah.
You know, I miss my life's not quite the same when I don't have basketball. Just, you know, I had Eurobasket, it's over. And you know, we're on the WNBA playoffs now. But yeah,
damn.
it'll be good. It'll be good
be
to get
here.
Basketball back for sure. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Obviously, big college football weekend, big NFL weekend, Thursday night football last night. Josh Allen doing what he does every single week.
Yes.
Like it's just easy.
That was outrageous.
We'll come back, Jason.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. I don't know if you remember us talking about this story, Brad, but it was about 3 weeks ago that Rampage Jackson's son, Raja Jackson, do you remember this?
I do remember the story,
He was at a wrestling event.
Yep.
And, you know, there was a little bit of a miscommunication at the beginning where the wrestler hit him in the head with a beer can. He thought he was a wrestler. Turns out he was not a wrestler. He was just a streamer. And again, this being Rampage Jackson's son.
Yeah.
He was told he could basically get a receipt, which in the wrestling business is like, you know, your lick back.
Yeah.
And I guess he interpreted that as I can beat this guy within an inch of his life.
Oh boy.
Because he sat ringside for the entirety of the event.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the wrestler got in there, he jumped in and I'm waylaying this guy. Just he's clearly unconscious.
Yeah.
And it's pretty graphic. It's a pretty graphic video. Well, the news is that Raja Jackson has been arrested on a felony assault charge following this attack, and he was booked Thursday morning.
Wow.
He's currently being held on $50,000 bail. They got him.
Yeah,
it's on tape, right?
Yeah, like it's there for everybody to see it.
It is, mm-hmm. There's really no case to be made here, unless you want to say somehow. I mean, there is no case because you can't even say it's self-defense because this is hours after you got hit in the head, right?
He's toast.
I mean, they're just gonna.
You're gonna have to plead guilty,
right,
to get out of this, and then take a plea and do your best here. Get you some good help.
Now, I will say for Rampage's part, he said that I think Raja should do a little time.
Holy crap!
This is his dad.
As a father, I don't know if I'd go that far. I mean, where are you at on that?
I mean, that was unbelievable. That was unacceptable. I mean, you have to be rehabilitated.
Yeah, you probably
not that prison is rehabilitation.
Hard. I mean, if you kill somebody, you got to go to jail.
I mean,
or
he
maybe
could have
die.
Killed the guy.
Yeah, he could have killed.
I mean, I think like.
Yep, you know, I think upon further review.
There is are you watching the video?
I'm looking at the view. I'm looking at the. I had to go back and watch this video.
I think there is a case to be made because Raja Jackson is
attempted murder.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, John, now that I'm watching the video.
I think he should feel fortunate that it's not an attempted murder charge.
How did he not die is my question after watching this thing again.
The wrestler spent several days in intensive care. He had a serious head injury as well as trauma to both the upper and lower jaws, laceration to the upper lip, and a fracture to the maxilla bone, which resulted in the loss of several teeth.
Ugh.
So, I mean, again, it's all out there, right? Like, there's just no hope for this guy in terms of beating this case.
No.
He's going to have to do, you know, some prison time. I mean, there's just no doubt about that. Because even if you talk about the plea, what are you pleading down? Like, what are you pleading down to? I mean, because that's assault.
Yeah, I know. You're pleading guilty, and you're trying to desperately work with the prosecution to spare you from not staying in jail for several years, let alone probably, you know, to Rampage's point, his kid's got to go back to jail. He's got to go to jail.
Yeah. That's a little bit of, we'll see. Obviously, there's going to be, I don't think it goes to trial, right? I mean, this is, no. I'm just going to, you know, I'm guilty and that's it.
And I'm not an attorney, and I want to be careful here because it's inexcusable and he should go to jail. Having said that, you know, now I follow a lot of these attorneys or these defense attorneys because I'm interested in it because you're a lot of times representing, let's be honest, you're representing some pretty terrible humans at times as a defense attorney. These defense attorneys are skilled, man. They know how to spin the weave. And if you're spinning this and there's no way to spin it, the only way you could spin it is you go, listen, you know, this is an event. This is a wrestling event. So not that it's a violent event. It's an entertainment venue, but that's the only route you can sort of beehive or go down to try to spin it any positive way, because otherwise, you know, like.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game.
They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her UnitedHealthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and UnitedHealthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.